First things first, are there, in fact, actually any rules around skywriting?
Surprisingly, there is very little legislation around it. And the problem, the issues around that are, one, that it's ephemeral. So, you know, obviously when someone writes something in the sky, it disappears within half an hour. But the other thing is that it's very hard to control what's happening in the atmosphere. You know, who would regulate it? The Civil Aviation Authority or the police? So it's treated a bit like graffiti, strangely enough, where it's seen as a kind of freedom of expression that is difficult to regulate. The difference, of course, is that graffiti is illegal and skywriting isn't.
Right. Okay. So interesting. So people who get busted doing graffiti, they can face criminal charges, but people who do kind of offensive skywriting, they don't.
Yeah, and the of course the argument against graffiti is that it's destroying someone's property. But because skywriting disappears, you know, there's nothing destroyed. Now, another similarity that I found in writing this piece that was very interesting is that the photographs that people take of the skywriting is of course encouraging the skywriting in an age of social media.
Yeah.
So the ephemeral becomes permanent as people photograph it, and that's the same with graffiti. So graffiti artists know that if they can get their piece up and get it photographed before it gets buffed by authorities, it will get distributed.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so the last political message we saw in the skywriting arena prior to the Choose Life was vote no. And it was during the same-sex marriage debate. So do you think skywriting messages are becoming increasingly partisan?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a reflection of the partisan politics in our society. You know, skywriting, you can trace it all the way back to the early 1900s. There was one of the first skywriting messages in the United States was over Times Square in 1922. And they wrote a phone number in the sky, and 47,000 people went home and called the phone number.
So
it's a very effective form of advertising. And so it's been used for advertising for a very long time. But these instances of people using it for political purposes seem to be very recent. There was also one during the Women's March in 2017. Somebody wrote Trump in the sky.
Oh, wow.
Over the Women's March. Yeah, and so, I mean, this seems to be something that is increasing and may cause regulators to take another look at it at some point.
Yeah, look, and it seems like potentially there's a bit of a theme there. And it's not cheap. So I wonder if it's the same wealthy individual who's doing the Trump, the vote no, and the choose life.
Well, the other factor here, it is the same individual who's writing it, but he is being paid to write it. And
yeah.
So the other factor here is that people are able to crowdsource money now very easily. So if a political group or a group of activists want to put up a message, which might cost between $4,000 and $5,000, well, if you can get hundreds of people to chip in $20, you can get there pretty quickly.
Yeah, right. And I was just thinking, going back to the 1920 example you provided of the phone number, can you imagine how much that would have blown those people's minds?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's new forms of skywriting now called sky typing. They've actually been around for a while, but they're increasing in prominence at the moment. And these are done much higher in the atmosphere, and they're done with small puffs of smoke. And so they create these kind of, they look like computer letters, like a dot matrix printer. And those are up about 3,000 meters high, and they'll stay up there for hours.
Oh my!
So I think, we could probably expect to see more of those in the future. And whether that may be even more difficult to regulate or legislate.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. And so you kind of touched on it before. Do you have a sense that this social media virality is more effective in spreading the message than the actual skywriting itself?
I think that's absolutely right. Yeah. So a few people have commented to me that, you know, maybe they can have sort of a counter protest where they go up and they strike through the
political, oh my God,
messages, the political messages that people are writing. But of course, as you say, it would be pointless because it's already been photographed. It already gets circulated on the internet. I think if you really wanted to resist the skywriting, the best thing to do is not to photograph it, strangely.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so it'd be interesting to understand your thoughts on, with technology like drones being available to pretty much everyone these days, can you imagine skywriting becoming more common in the future?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that I was thinking about. Once you have drones that could carry 30 gallons of paraffin oil, which is what creates those smoke puffs, you could essentially send up the drones without a pilot and write whatever you wanted in the sky. So we may be looking at some point in the future at this, competing political narratives being plastered across the sky over and over again on every still day in Sydney.
Oh my God, our poor skies, like particularly here in Sydney, they're so beautiful and blue and clear. I dread the day where it's just skywriting sign after skywriting sign after skywriting sign.
Well, it may be something that they have to look into regulating at some point.
Yeah, and how do you think they would regulate? Is that like putting a charge against the pilot of the plane?
It's similar to the argument about people posting things on the internet. You know, do you hold the platform liable? Do you hold the pilot liable, or do you find out where the money came from? A lot of these commissions come from anonymous donors. And so it might be very difficult to trace where the money came from. So it is a tricky area, and I think it's going to become more tricky as time goes on.
Yeah, I guess it's that old saying, don't shoot the messenger. The pilot's just the messenger.
Well, yes, but the pilot has also refused to put up political messages that he didn't agree with in the past.
So that's
another layer to this story. You know, should the pilot be able to choose what they're writing in the sky?
Yeah. And I guess also he's making some form of remuneration from the process. He's not doing it for free.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it would be interesting to interview that pilot at some point. Maybe that's the next step.
Oh, I think that would be great. That would be great. If you do, definitely call us.
Sounds good.
Brad, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.